Ukraine news. Yes, there is a war going on. Yes, it is not just a war between one country and another. It's a war between Russia and the United States and NATO, with the playing board, as it were, the chessboard, being Ukraine. But it's not a chessboard that is really restricted to the boundaries of Ukraine. It's a chessboard that runs all over the Western world. It's east against west, but it's more than that. It's hard to quantify all of it, because it really is a war against Christianity, a war against kindness, a war against goodness. And if you doubt that, you haven't been paying attention. You do not live in a society and call that society viable, credible, and valuable, and worthy, if that society is allowing for the manufacture and distribution of handbooks for masturbation for little children, preschoolers. This is where we are. And as you well know, high school, middle school, even elementary school are where this whole transgender confusion is now being sown in the minds and psyches of our kids. There's a war on childhood and children, literally a war to the death. These people are not going to quit. They're trying to take it all down, and that's the plan. So this is a world war already, even though they're not throwing nukes yet. That may not be far away. Mitchell Henderson is back tonight. Mitch, welcome back. How you doing? Feeling okay?
I'm doing good. I feel fine.
Excellent.
Speaking of nuclear war, that's where I want to start at, is the drift towards nuclear war. Okay.
Hell, if it's a drift, I would go so far as to say it's a headlong dive into the abyss. I mean, I don't know how else they can... How can they avoid nuclear war at this point? After all that they've done, how many red lines have the Russians put up and have we stomped upon? How many more are they going to accept and tolerate? I don't know. It's a mystery to me. But go ahead, please.
And there's countries that have no power at all in the world, that are trying to make this nuclear war happen. Estonia is talking about making a blockade on the Baltic Sea so that Russia cannot use its main port at St. Petersburg and all that area. Okay. A blockade is an act of war. Okay. If Estonia and Finland cares to blockade St. Petersburg, Russia can attack them. It's legal under the United Nations for them to attack those countries. So, and if they attack Estonia and Finland, those are NATO nations, so they have to attack us too. Keep in mind that Russia is fully aware that if we step up our involvement and we start blockading them and we start setting up no-fly zones and we start sending troops in, they know that they know what the end of that is going to be, okay? And that is very disadvantageous to them. So that is existential threat to them. So what they need to do is just push the button at that time.
Nice.
Okay. As soon as they lather it all up. I mean, why go through all the conventional stuff and then maybe a nuclear war? Why not just go directly to nuclear war? Okay. But there's something else that the United States is planning that is going to make it more likely to happen. Okay. So let me go over that.
Okay.
So the United States is really good at miscalculating. Hubris has made us ignorant of reality. A plan for Ukraine is to set off a tactical nuclear device at the Zaporizhzhia nuclear power plant as a false flag to justify American and NATO involvement in the war. We will viciously attack the Russian Black Sea fleets, as well as attack air and ground bases within Russia with conventional weapons. Then we will flood Ukraine west of the Dnieper and along the Black Sea with NATO ground troops under the belief that the Russians will not shoot at them. NATO has already set up a no-fly zone over Odessa province, and they will extend that to cover Ukraine west of the Dnieper River. Of course, it is our space secret decoder ring that tells us that this will work, okay, because it won't work. It's what it does is it's condescending, it's smug, it's arrogant. It presumes weakness on the Russians' part. It presumes that the Russians really have no reason to fight. There's no reason for them to fight. They're not fighting for anything. Okay. That's the way we look at it, but the fact is they're fighting for everything. They're fighting for their very existence. They're fighting for their God, okay? And we are not. We are fighting for Satan, all right? So, it's that's how they see it. They see it, okay? So the CIA has been doing psychological preparation of the battlefield since November. In November 2022, Lavrov stated very clearly at the UN that if America and NATO cross the red line of posing an existential threat to the Russian nation, that Russia would use nuclear weapons directly against the U.S. and NATO. From that very moment, the government and mainstream media have been constantly repeating warnings of a stark response if Russia uses a nuke in Ukraine. Russia has no need to do that. Ukraine cannot win and cannot take their territory back. So why repeat this lie? In order to make people believe that Russia is saying that they will use a nuke in Ukraine, to use that nuclear attack as the pretext for NATO to intervene in the war. This would be a holy, like, crusade at the UN. We have to crush Russia because they used a nuclear weapon. Okay. Our miscalculation is that we don't think Russia will go nuclear if we do this scenario. Russia is very clear. The second we set off a nuke and a false flag operation in Zaporizhia, Russia will launch a massive all-out nuclear attack on the U.S. and NATO. We are going to die by the millions for the disgusting, incestuous, pedophile, Biden insane plan to take down Russia. The narrative is set. The U.N. blames Russia for firing on the nuclear plant. The plant is occupied and run by Russia. Why would they bomb their own people? They would do it because the U.N. says so and because everybody believes what the U.N. says is true. People, what the U.N. says is a satanic lie, everything they say, no matter what it is. It's all a lie all the time. So in the near future, people will believe that Russia would nuke its own people. Okay? This is ridiculous. Okay? It's like they blew up their own pipeline. They'll blow up their own largest nuclear power plant in Europe. They'll just blow it up. The Russians will do that just to spite
us,
I guess.
It's so stupid. It is so stupid. Yeah. It defies description. It has nothing to do with logical thought. Nothing. It's ridiculous.
No, not at all.
We shouldn't even be talking about it. It's dumb.
So the mainstream media in the West keeps putting out false stories about Russian casualties and Russian troops and tactical failures. They want to create a narrative where Russia is failing horribly and that the upcoming major counteroffensive will soon be launched in Zaporizhia and Russian troops will be routed, causing Russia to get desperate and use a tactical nuke in Zaporizhia. This is their scenario. Okay, the press is building up. I mean, it's competing. When you look on YouTube, you could find just as many videos saying about the glorious NATO victories in Ukraine as you will the Russian victories, okay? So it's nonsense. So right now, as we speak, American soldiers are using chemical weapons to assist the Ukrainians. This directly violates the 1997 Convention on Chemical Weapons, which the United States signed. This is a war crime. Biden is the commander-in-chief. He is responsible. So is Lloyd Austin, the first black Secretary of Defense. Oh, he is a war criminal.
Loser. What a loser. What a creep. Oh, God.
And I think he is a definite affirmative action promotion, and his leadership is non-existent. He is the most mediocre Secretary of Defense we have ever had, and he has destroyed the greatest military power that ever existed. They are mixing CS gas with smoke to obscure the Ukrainian attacking units. Since the Ukrainians do not have enough artillery, they're mixing tear gas into the smoke to blind the Russian troops. Yes, tear gas may not be used in war. It can be used on civilians, but never is permissible to be used on troops. This is an agreement the whole world made, okay? Prior to the smoke, they release Agent BZ, on Russian troops. This is an illegal incapacitating gas that causes LSD-like effects. It is against the law to use it on troops, and it is illegal to be used on civilians. Okay, there is no legal use for BZ. A lot of people probably aren't very familiar with BZ, Agent
BZ.
There was a movie.
BZ. Mitch, that's
well, BZ is an incapacitating agent. It's actually like a very powerful hallucinogen. It lasts 48 to 72 hours. There was a movie years ago called Jacob's Ladder with Tim Robbins, and it was talking about Agent BZ. So,
how long does it
so
last?
It has been
24 to 48 hours? That's a long
48
trip.
To 72 hours.
That's a huge trip.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah, well,
wow.
It's meant to incapacitate troops long enough for you to do what you want to do, you know.
I like going and kill them all. Uh-huh.
Yeah, so where are they doing this? They're doing it in Zaporizhzhia nuclear power plant area, the general area where the great Ukrainian offensive is supposed to take place. Why is this significant? Because the United States must cover up their criminal use of chemical agents, and a tactical nuke will destroy the evidence. See, they're sticking their necks out with chemical warfare. Okay, just look at this. It's like the world banned landmines, but then the world gives Ukraine landmines to use in Ukraine. The world bans cluster munitions, and then the West supplies cluster munitions to Ukraine. Okay, the world bans chemical weapons, and the United States is there using chemical weapons on civilians and soldiers in Ukraine in war.
Yeah. Nuclear weapons as well. DU is a nuclear weapon. So there's another
and
one.
DU. The British sent a bunch of DU over there, and the Russians promptly blew that up. And when they blew it up, there's fallout. There's a lot of fallout going downrange and stuff. Some of that may be overblown, how much they say, oh, there was gamma radiation and stuff. Well, listen, depleted uranium is uranium that all the most radioactive isotopes have been taking out of it. That's what it's depleted of, is radioactive isotopes. Depleted uranium is mildly radioactive. It's mostly beta, alpha and beta radiation. And it's slight. You could hold it in your hand. I wouldn't put it under my pillow and sleep on it, but, you know, you can hold it and you can be exposed to it, and it's not enough radiation to harm you. I mean, I spent years in tanks just loaded with depleted uranium and did not have that. But, you know, inside the round, of course, it's shielded a little bit, but, you know, it really is only a problem when you fire it because it's pyrophoric. What it does is it strikes the steel of the opponent's tank, and as soon as it hits, it starts burning at the tip of the depleted uranium rod. Okay, it catches on fire. Well, that fire, it sort of sucks the rod in, and this is in very slow motion. So the rod hits, it ignites, and the burning at the tip of the uranium rod, which is ignited by friction, it sucks the rod through, and as soon as there's a pinhole on the inside of the tank and the air hits it, it rapidly rips that through, spalls a bunch of metal off the inside, it rattles around inside and turns the troops into spaghetti. Okay. Or lasagna, whatever.
Got it.
And
I've read somewhere, just a real quick aside here, correct me, that when the DU round is fired, it actually is already in an early incendiary state as it's transiting toward the target. And when it hits, it does exactly what you described. But it comes out of there so hot that it's already basically burning. I don't know if that's
well,
true.
Well, it does get friction in the air, but the fire begins the moment that it strikes the tank. The friction of striking the tank sets the rod on fire. And it actually is sucking the rod in through the steel and stuff. Okay, it's a very good tank round, I'll tell you. It kills tanks good, it's not good enough to be used around American troops or allied troops, but it's okay to poison civilians, innocent civilians, with all of this.
Look
that's
what they did
perfectly
to Iraq.
Okay.
They covered Iraq from one end to the other with it.
Yeah. So keep in mind.
To deal with. God only knows.
Well, even the explosion of the depleted uranium rods looked like a nuclear explosion almost, you know. It was a mushroom cloud. It was pretty awesome. So keep in mind that all of the cheating and violating international law that NATO is doing, supplying Ukraine depleted uranium rods, giving Ukraine cluster bombs to use, and supplying Ukraine with landmines. When nations do this, they're very guilty. They must win the war, or they could go to prison or be executed. So they're going to be very, this shows that they're very committed to this war with Russia, okay? Because they're pulling out the stops, doing every dirty, filthy thing they can. They don't care about humanity. They don't care about decency. They don't care about anything. So I had to research whether we would use nastier weapons. Yes, we fully intend to. The U.S. Army labs in Ukraine are preparing to unleash biological weapons to kill Russian people and not accept credit for it. They will begin using more deadly chemical weapons that can persist for centuries, making areas unlivable. We want to use the false flag tactical nuke at the Zaporizhzhia nuclear power plant so it will spread all of the radioactive material at the plant eastwards over into Russia. We will deny any such actions, just like we denied blowing up the Nord Stream pipeline and just like we denied trying to assassinate President Putin. The American public may not know any of this, but the Russians do. I can personally attest to the fact that Russian radioelectronic warfare is more advanced than ours. I'm sorry I can't get really deep into it because the class that I got was extremely high, highly classified, okay? So the U.S. Army taught me that there is no such thing as communication security. Every plan we discuss, they can hear. They know what our plans are. It is only the American people who do not know. And I should reiterate at this point that in the past, when I was in active duty in the Army as an officer, I was also a unit a security manager. What the security manager does is he reviews classified material to determine who can see it, because they have to have a need to know and they have to have the proper clearance to see it. So I would have to review it and decide who can see it and who can't. Okay, well, out of all the classified documents I saw over years, let me tell you, American, if it is classified top secret, it's secret from the American people. It is not secret from the enemy. If it's classified secret, it's secret from the American people. It is not secret to the enemy. The enemy knows that stuff. Okay, how do I know? Because I read our military intelligence, and then I read what they discovered in their military intelligence, and it matched. Okay, so So the real enemy of the United States government isn't Russia. The real enemy of the United States government is the people of the United States of America.
Incredible.
They are the enemy of the government. The government hates you, and the government will deal with you, okay? So the best thing we can do is make it as public as possible so that maybe someone will have enough sense to pull the plug on this suicidal strategy. We have to let people know that if a nuke goes off in Ukraine, it's America who set it off. It is not Russia. Okay. The more that's repeated, the less likely they are to do this stupid, 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 foolish thing that's going to get all of us killed, you know? We are fighting for our lives too, people. Our goal, Russia is not our enemy. China is not our enemy. Iran is not our enemy. North Korea is not our enemy. Those countries don't have anything to say about what you do. As a matter of fact, you can even go travel in those countries, and they will not give you a bad time. Okay, so your only enemy is the government of the United States. It's the only enemy that the American people have, the only real enemy we have. So Ukraine is just simply not worth the blood of a single American soldier. It is not worth my children's lives nor my grandchildren's lives. But Joe Biden wants to kill us all for the sake of Ukraine, for his power, her personal power. That's why he would kill us all.
It's Obama, Biden. Biden is not worthy of even mentioning as a president. It's Obama and the controllers above him. But whatever, I get the point. Biden's the figurehead. That's why I call him O'Biden right. most of the time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's very correct. So another problem's coming up with them, and that's Europe is awakening. Okay, Europe has not been united towards Biden's woke war on Russia. Hungary and Turkey have opposed Ukraine being in NATO, even though NATO General Secretary Jens Stoltenberg said that all NATO members are in support of Ukraine joining NATO. No, they are not. Hungary and Turkey do not supply weapons to Ukraine. Croatia will not permit Ukrainian soldiers to be chained on their territory. Not only that, but we're up to as many as 40% of the people in Europe are against the NATO war. They are sympathetic to Russia. Okay, 40% of their population. That's more people than support Joe Biden. Okay. So, to show that Europe's woke are not willing to blindly follow the American woke, I want to read you a statement by Claire Daly. She is a Marxist, an atheist, a cultural Marxist, an environmentalist, and a woke Irish member of European Parliament. She is a major woke influencer in Europe. In her speech to the European Parliament last week, she said this, and I'm quoting her, "NATO has overstretched themselves. The people of Europe and the people of the world have absolutely seen through them, and their days are numbered. We see the jingoism wearing off. The vacuous call of standing with Ukraine is ringing hollow now. Ordinary people can see that this war is being financed and paid for with the lives of Ukrainians and Russians and with the living standards of the people of Europe. And all for what? All to line the pockets of military-industrial complex, which has controlled the U.S. presidency no matter which side manages to win. And a military-industrial complex, which has now taken over the so-called leaders of Europe, who are not leaders at all. They're actually just followers and wimps, generally in the main. So they may think that they have their war now, and they have their military hardware, but it is a last-ditch stand before the people of Europe are beginning to wake up. The people of the rest of the world have long seen through NATO and the U.S. The global north is now a minority in a new world order which won't be based on the dollar, but will be based on a new system of multilateralism. The old colonial days of where the Western white man came in and dominated, they are gone now. This present period, dangerous and tragic as it is really just their death agony."
Yeah. Okay. That's quite a statement. So, all right. Hold on, Mitch, right there. It's a good place to pause just for a little bit. And remind you all, we have some really wonderful products here. Not a lot of them, but they all perform magnificently. Hope you can support them, and we'll be right back. All right, back with Mitch. Let me ask you just a quick question. This is a projection, of course. What are your feelings about the chances of nuclear war, let's say in the next 3 to 6 months? Or 3 to 6 weeks. How much more is Russia going to take? I guess that's the question. Chemical weapons. Go ahead.
So we're at a point now that what's happening is there's a lot of people complaining that, well, Russia's not doing anything. Okay. Well, yes, they are. They have the Ukrainians are throwing themselves at them. They're destroying their army, which is the goal of an army. What's going to happen is they're going to start their offensive. It's when their offensive is successful is when the United States is going to pull all this stuff. It's going to be we're going to do this out of desperation is what we're going to do it out of, and it's going to get us all killed. I mean, listen, these people that are up in Washington are not leaders. They don't even know what leadership is about. They are so star focused. They are servants of Satan. Everything they do is to serve Satan. Okay, everything they do. So I think it could happen. I think the time to watch is before July 1st. You know, be very nervous between now and July 1st, because that's when all this is likely to take place. Okay. So if we get through, to September without an imminent nuclear war, it may not be necessarily going to happen, because by September, Russia is going to clearly be winning. Okay. So,
do you at this point think that there's going to be a meaningful counteroffensive by Ukraine? Do they have enough men and materiel to do that?
No, they don't. I'll get into that a bit. That's all, because their counteroffensive is now just publicity. That's all.
I think you're right. I agree.
So, so two of Europe's major armies are combat ineffective, Germany and the United Kingdom. Germany spent the past decade dissolving its best-trained and equipped formations because they had too many white men in it. Imagine that, too many white men in Germany. The United Kingdom did the same thing. They will not recruit straight white men for their ranks. If you're a straight white male in Great Britain, you cannot serve in the military. Okay. So they have no military. Neither country has military that's any good for anything. They're combat ineffective. The same is happening to the United States military. They do not want straight white males, and if you are one, it will be held against you daily. I watched a video just the other day called The 11th Order on YouTube. It's about some Marines that saved their buddies, earned the Navy Cross and stuff. But it was so gay that I was disgusted by it. Gay armies like the Dutch army at Srebrenica in Bosnia that stood by and allowed Serb troops to massacre about 8,000 Muslim men and boys that they were tasked with protecting. This is what gay soldiers do. Okay. Why is the American military avoiding recruiting straight white men? Because the last thing the government wants is a military that will support the Constitution and be loyal to white Americans. White people are the enemy. They tell you so daily. Just listen, look at Biden the other day at Howard University commencement. White supremacism is the most vital threat to America. Well, right. No, it is not. The only danger to America is the government of the United States. The only danger to the Constitution of the United States is the government of the United States. The only danger to the Bill of Rights and your rights is the government of the United States. They are the enemy of the Constitution, the enemy of the people, the enemy of God, the enemy of all decency. Okay? The ultimate duty of the U.S. military is to murder white people. None of the Western militaries are trained or equipped to fight Russia or China. So what they're really trying to bluff their way in this, but, you know, they don't live in reality. They're delusional. The Russians and the Chinese are not delusional. They're looking at things realistically. Yeah. So let me go over the war in Ukraine and try to give a picture of where it's going. So in the past few weeks, we have seen the results of an operation that Russia started when the United States decided to ship Patriot missile systems to Ukraine. The purpose of Operation Bezhopashnoye Nebo, which is Operation Safe Skies, was to launch missiles into western Ukraine that the Patriot missiles could shoot down, leading to less missiles actually detonating in western Ukraine. This lulled NATO into complacency. Since for months there had been relatively few successful attacks in western Ukraine, NATO began concentrating ammunition and weapons into great supply points with which to support the Ukrainian army. They also had troops concentrating in areas. They remained patient as NATO concentrated troops, command and control facilities, and logistics for the great Ukrainian counteroffensive. The Russians did not harass or destroy the Ukrainian effort to build its forces. As the months passed, the Ukrainians became more complacent and the operational security slipped. The Ukrainian people hate Zelensky government with a passion. This is a boon for Russian intelligence because it gives them the most critical source of intelligence, human intelligence. Ukraine has made it an official policy to execute Ukrainians that do not evacuate towards Ukraine but heads for the safety of Russian-controlled areas. So with months of NATO building up logistical and training facilities, that the information being collected by Russia then used their better missiles, the Kinzhal hypersonic missiles, to attack these troop and supply depots and destroy Ukraine's warfighting ability. Starting May 4th, Russia has stricken these military depots to great effect. The Patriot missiles have not shot even one down. The Russians have made use of the fact that the Patriot systems created a false sense of security that the Russians were able to exploit. We knew going in that these Patriots could shoot down Kinzhals. As a matter of fact, every day the Ukrainian government puts out how many Russian missiles they shot down, and Russia has noted that they've actually, Ukraine has succeeded shooting more Russian missiles down than Russia has fired, like twice as many than they fired. So it's just propaganda, war propaganda. Yeah. What are Ukraine's intentions? They have four axes of operations. First and primary is Ukrainian counteroffensive in Bakhmut. The Ukrainians will not give this up, although NATO and everybody wants them to. Still, over half the Ukrainian forces are on this front. The counterattacks were expected. The Russians dug in along terrain behind their lines. They allowed the Ukrainians to advance across open, low-lying flat fields where they could be effectively destroyed. The Ukrainians are advancing to the north of Bakhmut and to the south. PMC Wagner's boss Prigozhin had opened disputes with the Russian army to give the impression that things were not going well with the Wagner group. They would never allow a Russian military officer to play this role for purposes of discipline. This encouraged the Ukrainians to send ever more troops into the kill box of Bakhmut. Remember that the primary objective of a military is to destroy the enemy's army. That is exactly what Russia is doing and will continue to do until they launch their offensive, which will be launched when the military is ready and not by political pressure. The second front, the front where the great Ukrainian mother of all counteroffensive is to take place, actually has already had their offensive set back by the destruction of the 9 Brigade headquarters that were to command the attack. They will now be relegated to fake attack on Zaporizhzhia nuclear power plant to give the excuse that the Ukrainian forces were about to seize the nuclear power plant and Russia had to fire a tactical nuclear weapon there to prevent losing the war. That is the exact wording. This is the unimaginative and juvenile operation to create a false flag operation to allow NATO intervention in the war. My fellow citizens, this is the plan that will get you and all you love dead, sacrificed in a stupid bid to give woke faggot pedophiles political power over the world. The third front is Kherson. To spoil the Russian attack across the Mykolaiv and Odessa provinces, the Russians like this because it is sending more of the Ukrainian army to them to be destroyed. The fourth front is with Moldova. Ukraine is determined to invade Transnistria to grab the huge ammo and weapons dump there. They are going to have to break international law to invade Moldova because it's a neutral nation. Poor Moldova does not yet know it, but the United States and NATO are supporting Ukraine invading them. The Ukrainian plan is not just to invade Transnistria, but they intend to take the capital of Chisinau also. What are the Russian intentions? Russia also has four axes of advance. In the west, Russian forces will stream south from the Belarusian border along the Polish border, headed south to cut off Ukraine from further NATO supplies and to keep the NATO troops from flooding east across the border into Ukraine. In the south, Russian forces will take western Kherson, Mykolaiv, and Odessa provinces in order to prevent NATO troops from occupying southwest Ukraine. It will also cut Ukraine off from the sea and from getting supplies by sea. This has the most likely danger of setting off World War III because NATO already has a no-fly zone there, and Russia and NATO military forces are most likely to come into direct conflict there. In the center, Russia must be ready for the false flag nuclear attack that will take place there. They know it'll take place. They know everything we're going to do. NATO thinks this will forestall Russian troops from moving north along the eastern bank of the Dnieper River to cut off eastern Ukraine. Russia will not be surprised by the American nuclear attack on a nuclear power plant. They have taken this into account and will definitely launch their attack north in spite of it. Remember, if America sets this nuke off, the nuclear World War III will start at that very second. Russia will respond in a total nuclear war. America is over. We are over. Why will you be dying? So that homosexuals and trannies can be free. You will be dying for your own oppression. The fourth front is the Eastern Front. This is where Russia wastes Ukrainian lives and equipment. Normally, you have to go on the offense to destroy the enemy's army. But in Ukraine, the Ukrainian army is committing suicide. You see, you need a 10-to-1 advantage on the offense. So Ukraine is throwing human lives away for political optics.
Got it.
You see, the woke believe in visualization. If you visualize something, you make it real. This is magical thinking. It's like the old visualize world peace thing. You visualize it and it comes true in a new age homosexual way somehow. I don't know. So the woke believe that you only have to control the narrative to make their truth come to life. This is also why censoring is critical for them. The woke have to put out the narrative that Russia is weak and incompetent. Our faggots and sissies are more powerful than Russian straight people. That is our narrative. Let's see how that works out for us. Okay, so let me cover a couple other things that are kind of important here. One is on the Turkish elections, okay? Following the same pattern of American rigged elections, early voting is very strong for the incumbent. Then the voting day ends. Massive votes start coming in for the opposition. Partly the woke party wins, even though less than 20% of the voters approve of it. In Turkey, 75% of the voters hate Europe and do not want to be a part of the European Union. And 75% of voters do not support NATO. Yet, inexplicably, all those people just vote for the party that is against their interests. 80% of Turks absolutely detest the Western LGBT agenda. So why are they voting for it? Well, what happened is the vote, Erdogan made like 49.5%, which is what they like to do, because to make it go to a runoff, they let him get real close to winning. And then a runoff election is easier to rig because they already know what the voting patterns are going to be. So you can expect major efforts to rig that election when they have the runoff. This is an important goal for the United States. They have to rig that election. They have to gain control of the Turkish government. That is vital for the war. Okay, they have to do that. So the second thing I want to do is you keep hearing about things about Prigozhin and Putin, and they're arguing, even Prigozhin selling out Russian troops to the Ukrainians and stuff.
Oh, that was a particularly disgusting piece of fiction I saw the other day.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. But I want everybody to keep something in mind, okay, because they don't talk about this in the news. But what's going on in Russia is Russia, until this war started, Russia was not anti-Semitic. Russia had very good relations with Israel, very good relations with the Jewish rabbinate, or whatever you want to call it. And he was just favorably disposed towards them. He knew them as a child, and he didn't really dislike them or anything. Right. But when the war started, Israel, although Israel didn't send deadly weapons to Ukraine, Israel supported Ukraine. And
there's a lot going on that we'll never know about, too, as you well know.
Yeah.
A lot going
right.
on. Mossad, money, you name it.
Right, right. So
all those Jewish oligarchs,
go ahead. Well, I was going to say, so what happened in the past year is the opposite, Russia told the Israelis to get their Jewish agency out of Russia, and there are people who support immigration to Israel and stuff like that, okay?
Right.
So they bought all that out, and there's actually a big wave of anti-Semitism going on because Russia's a Christian nation, and they're fighting Satan. And the Jews are Satan, as far as they're concerned, because Zelensky is a Jew.
They remember Bolshevism. They remember what happened.
Right. Yes.
Under the Soviet Marxist communist regime, they remember the death, the suffering, the horrors. They don't forget. They remember.
So I want the audience to just keep this in mind about Prigozhin. Prigozhin is Jewish. Both on his mom and his dad's side, he is Jewish. Okay. Second, Prigozhin has never been in the military. He is not a military man. He does not understand how to run him. He can run a private military contractor group, but that's not the same as running a division in a war. He doesn't have that ability. He doesn't understand everything that's going on. Okay. So, and what did Prigozhin do in the last 10 years of the Soviet Union? Well, he was in jail for robbery and theft. That's what he was doing. So if people think that Prigozhin is some indispensable person to Putin, well, he is not indispensable to Putin. Putin is indispensable. Prigozhin is he can be disposed of. He's disposable.
Yeah. Should we not also mention that Wagner PMC, with or without Prigozhin, in point of fact, essentially took Bakhmut?
Oh, yes, they do. Now, don't get me wrong. It's like the people that work for Wagner, those are very well-trained military people. Mm-hmm. I just want people to remember that whatever Prigozhin says, keep in mind, he hasn't got a clue about how to run strategy and tactics and stuff. That's not his thing, okay?
He's just the head of a corporation. I got it. Yeah.
He's a front man. So, you know, that it's just something that he's doing. And, you know, Britain decided to send the Storm Shadow missiles, which are 200-kilometer range. And, you know, Putin keeps telling the West, every time you send a longer-range missile, that's how far into Ukraine that we have to take, you know. So, and the first Storm Shadows that Ukraine used, they used them on civilians to kill little kids and women and stuff.
Yep.
So,
all true.
I was wondering if I could, I'd just like to ask something. I met a gentleman in the past year and a half. His name is Dan Anderson, and he's a lawyer. And I had an interesting conversation with him, but I lost his contact information. And Dan listens to the show. If you're listening, please, you know, try to contact me. Okay.
Very good. Or you, Dan, if you just contact me, I'll get it right to Mitch. So either way. Very good.
Yeah.
That was really another exceptional serving of truth and reality. This whole thing is so perverted in terms of the media, the Western media, presenting it, representing it. They have the best money type people in mind control, in propaganda, that they can get hold of. They got unlimited funds for that. They've been looting this whole country. They have the Marxist Zionists have successfully destroyed that country. 15 million have left, and they've killed up to 400,000 young white Christian males in the military. That very group that might, if anything, were ever to rise up against Zelensky, come from those ranks. And those people are all dead. They're ghosts now. They've killed them all.
Well, listen to this. So another thing about Prigozhin. Last week, he finally got tired of the fact that he kept doing prisoner exchanges and stuff, okay?
Yeah,
but he's not getting very many prisoners back. Then he just found out and came to the conclusion that Ukrainians are just killing them. They're not just killing them outright. They are killing a bunch outright when they surrender, but they want most of them to go back so they can harvest them for organs. So they need them alive to harvest for organs.
Prigozhin said, we are not taking any more prisoners from now on.
That's right. No more prisoners, you know, but that's you know, that would be an illegal order, except when the enemy doesn't take prisoners, well, you know, are you really obliged to take prisoners?
I think your point is very well taken, and it's amazing to me to watch the satanic government of that poor, downtrodden, destroyed country literally killing women and children. That's what they do best. They attack civilian targets. It's amazing. Sickening and amazing. All right, Mitch, we'll see what happens in the next week. Yeah, you be well.
Okay.
Take care.
You too. Right. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Good night. Thank you. Excellent, excellent commentary from Mitchell Henderson. You won't get any better. All right, we shall continue with David Oates coming up next.